Hey guys, hope everyone is doing well. Welcome back to Crime and Tea. I am your lovely host, Crystal, which you may know if you're a returning listener. If not, thanks for coming and check out the show. I appreciate you guys coming through and hopefully you'll find yourself coming back. Getting into today's case, we head over to Japan, and it's going to be a rough one. So we do touch on subjects of child abuse, murder, sexual content, necrophilia, and cannibalism. So if that is not something that you feel comfortable with, no problem. You can totally skip this episode. I just wanted to leave a general trigger warning because there is a lot going on in this case. So without further ado, grab your tea, your coffee, something cozy, and let's get into it. So starting from the beginning here, Tsutomu Miyazaki was born August 21st, 1962 to Katsumi and Reiko Miyazaki in Itsukaichi, Tokyo. Or so I thought. Upon digging a little deeper through some stuff, I found something a little neat. Apparently, Tomu was not in fact birthed from his mom, but from his incestuous relationship between his dad and his older sister. Now, granted, I only found one source that, you know, touched on this, so this could be true or could be not true, but I see it as being true, especially with some of the evidence that we see coming up on, you know, how he was and him in general, which is probably why he was born prematurely and with a rare birth defect, which deformed his hands and would not allow for him to bend his wrists up. His hands were very awkward looking and they were awkward for him. Doctors actually found that Tsutomu had an abnormal hyper sex drive, which also did help him or didn't help him at all. It caused more issues for him, obviously. So one of his former classmates also had said that his penis was no thicker than a pencil and no longer than a toothpick. Unfortunately, this caused him to be bullied severely by other children, and he just generally wasn't able to make friends. Even his own family shunned him to an extent. He didn't like to do much of anything, but where he seemed to find some sort of belonging was art. He found some happiness drawing and reading comics alone. As you can see, this is already off to a bad start in his life. Although he was severely bullied, he was not an unintelligent child. He actually thrived in Itsukaichi Elementary School. He was ranked in the top 10 of his class and moved on to Maeda Nakaino High School in Nakano, Tokyo. He was still thriving for a time and was still striving towards becoming a teacher. However, that dream was not able to be realized. His grades plummeted to the point of being 40th out of 56 children, and now there is speculation that that was due to some turmoil at home in regards to his future. Apparently, his father wanted him to take over the newspaper business that he owned, and he didn't want to be part of that. He wanted to be a teacher. Tsutomu knew that that's not what he wanted him to do, and he was really being pressured to succeed for his parents, so he seemed to just stop applying himself. Being that he made this shift, he did not attend Meiji University as he had planned and instead attended a junior college where he would study to become a photo technician. This is when Tsutomu realizes that his family doesn't really care about him and he in turn shunned them. He stated to the police upon his arrest later on that if I tried to talk to my parents about my problems, they'd just brush me off. The only people that he didn't seem to completely shut out were his grandfather and possibly his older sister slash mom, which is, you know, weird, but whatever. He saw his grandfather as the only one that actually cared about him and his happiness. His younger sisters hated him with reason, I must say. He was just being weird and creepy and just gets more problematic as time goes on. As Tsutomu went to college, he ostracized himself even further and became a bigger creep. He would take crotch shots of female tennis players while they were playing. He also went through pornographic magazines to the point of boredom. He said they black out the most important part, which if you don't know, this is how a large majority of porn is produced in Japan. The privates are usually blurred or blacked out. This is where Tsutomu makes a shift in 1984. He begins seeking out child pornography. Because for some reason, the censorship laws in Japanese law only banned the pubic hair, not the private parts themselves. Which seems really odd to me. This is also when he seems to be going through the biggest portion of his depression and when he seriously contemplated suicide. He found that his grandfather was able to help him through this period, and he didn't go through with his suicide attempt. In 1988, his grandfather passed away, which caused Sutomu to pretty much snap. The only person who has ever cared for him and sympathized with him was now gone. This is when Sutomu starts exhibiting even more worrisome behavior. He was apparently caught peeping on one of his sisters while she was in the shower. When she told him to leave, he became angry and attacked her. Eventually, his mother found out about this, and she attempted to scold him. He lashed out at her as well. He even attempted to eating a few of his grandfather's ashes to feel closer to him. He is spiraling closer to his first crime, and there is no one at this point holding him back or keeping him grounded at all. One day after Tsutomu's 26th birthday, he would make his first abduction in August of 1988. Mari Kono was just 4 years old when she left the Iruma Village apartments around 3:30 p.m. This is when Sutomu makes his move. He asked the young girl, "Wouldn't you like to go somewhere where it's cool?" as he walked by, grabbing Mari by the hand. The young girl playfully skipped along to Sutomu's Nissan, none the wiser to his twisted scheme. They drove down the National Highway number 16 in western Tokyo, when Sutomu went off towards Itsukaichi. The two then exited the vehicle near the Shintama power station and walked down a hiking trail. This is the point at which Mari really starts to get upset and starts to cry. Sutomu then takes his hands around her throat and strangles her to death. After Mari passed, he then undresses her and fondles her. He then exited the forest, taking her clothes along with him. A few days after Mari went missing, an anonymous postcard came in the mail that read, "There are devils about." Obviously, this was from Sutomu. There was a huge search for the young girl. Over 50,000 missing persons flyers were distributed throughout the community. The police went around the neighborhoods warning families not to leave their children unaccompanied. His next victim was not too soon after his first. October 3rd, 1988, 7-year-old Masami Yoshizawa was walking home from first grade when she was taken. Somehow, Sutomu convinced the young girl to get into his car. He drove along the hills above the coal mine pass, in which he then strangled the young girl. Once again, after the young girl had passed, he stripped her down and raped her corpse. He was literally less than 100 meters from the remains of Mari, which is just so fucked up. Maisima's body started to convulse, which scared Sutomu, and he hurriedly left the scene. His next victim was 4-year-old Erika Namba on December 12, 1988. She was on her way home from a friend's house when Sutomu came across her. With Namba, though, he forced her into his car and also forced her to strip in the car so he could take photos of her before he killed her. He then wrapped her up in a bedsheet and put her in the trunk of his car. Completely straying from his normal MO of leaving the body at the scene, being that he hadn't brought her to a secluded location. He drove off but was almost caught when his tire got caught in a gutter, completely stopping the car. He obviously started panicking, so he decided to pop the trunk and dump her body in the nearby forest. Upon returning, he found two concerned passerbyers that were willing to help him get his car unstuck. Erica's body was found a few days later, about 50 kilometers from her home, with her hands and feet bound with a nylon cord. Shinichi Namba also received a postcard in the mail with letters cut out saying, "Erika, cold, cough, throat, rest, death." Could you imagine being the parent of that child and receiving that in the mail? That is absolutely horrifying. On February 6th, Shigo Kuno, Mari's dad, discovered a box on his doorstep. The box contained ashes, dirt, fragments of bones, 10 baby teeth, photos of underwear, photos of sandals, and a sheet of paper. The note read, "Mari, bones, cremated, investigate, prove." Police later found out that Sutomu had been visiting the decomposing bodies of the children for months. Her hands and feet were not in the box. Which is just, again, even more fucked up than it already is. On February 11th, another letter arrived at the Kono residence. It was titled, Crime Confession, and read, "I put the cardboard box with Mari's remains in it in front of her home." It went on, I did everything from the start of the Mari incident to the finish. I saw the police press conference where they said the remains were not Mari's on camera. Her mother said the report gave her new hope that Mari might still be alive. I knew then that I had to write this confession so Mari's mother would not continue to hope in vain. I say again, the remains are Mari's. Which I just don't even understand this guy. Like, it's almost like he has a conscience, but he doesn't have a conscience. Like, he knows that he did something wrong, and he knows that, you know, these people are suffering. But he's just like, yeah, no, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. At the funeral of Mari, her father said, when she gets to heaven, she won't be able to walk or eat. Please return the rest of her remains. Yet another letter turned up. This one read, before I knew it, the child's corpse had gone rigid. I wanted to cross her hands over her breast, but they wouldn't budge. Pretty soon, the body gets red spots all over it. Big red spots, like the Hinamaru flag, or like you'd covered her whole body with red honko seals. After a while, the body is covered with stretch marks. It was so rigid before, but now it feels like it's full of water. And it smells. How it smells. Like nothing you've ever smelled in the whole wide world. And that is a letter that the Kono family is receiving from this fucked up individual. Tsutomu's final victim was on June 6th. He had left to go check out the tennis courts, but they were all closed. Not being able to get his fix, he sought satisfaction somewhere else. He soon found what he was looking for. 5-year-old Ayako Nomoto was playing outside, alone. He came up to the young girl with his camera out and offered to take beautiful pictures of her. Shortly thereafter, he brought her over to his car to take some more pictures of her bouncing around in the backseat of the car. Up to this point, the little girl hadn't noticed Tsutomu's hands, but she finally saw them and she was scared. This made him angry, and he put his hands around her neck. He went on to tell the reporters later that she kicked and kicked, but went limp in 4 or 5 minutes. Once he was sure she was dead, he bound her hands and feet and placed her in the trunk. He went about going home, stopping at the local town of Koenji to rent a camera with her body still in the car. He then carried the girl to his home, stripped her, wiped her body off with a towel, and oh boy, is this rough. Opens up her legs and taped her privates open. He took photos that aroused him, and he masturbated on her corpse. Yeah, fucked up individual is putting it mildly at this point. He is just a sick, sick, sick freaking person. And I just, ugh, skeeves me the fuck out. I could not imagine. I really, really, really couldn't. 2 days later, the odor of the decomposing body became intolerable. He used the saw to dismember her body, beginning with her head. He then removed her hands and feet so she could not be identified. He drank some of her blood and ate some of her hands and feet. Once he was done dismembering her, he brought her torso to a cemetery, her head into the hills nearby. The rest of her remains were left near a public toilet. His final attempted murder was on Sunday, July 23, 1989. He found 2 sisters playing in Hachijoji. He attempted to have both of the girls follow him. However, the older sister wouldn't follow along. She instead fled home to her father for help. Tsutomu led the younger sister with him away to the nearby river. Her father quickly made his way to his daughter once he'd been informed. He returned to see an unimaginable sight. His young daughter was nude with her legs spread as Tsutomu took close-ups of the young girl's privates. The father managed to get his young daughter from Sutomo's vehicle, but unfortunately Tsutomu was able to flee on foot. Although he had been injured by the father's assault, he later tried to come back for his vehicle, but of course the police were lying in wait for him to return. He was immediately taken into custody and his car and home were searched. Upon searching the apartment, police found over 5,000 videotapes. Some were just regular anime and slashers. However, mixed upon the seemingly ordinary anime and other content were homemade videos of him abusing the corpses. There were many photographs found of the victims as well as pieces of the victims' clothing. They also discovered some of the remains he had kept in the home from his final victim. Her hands were still missing. 17 days after he was arrested, he confessed to murdering Ayako, They were able to find her skull in the hills of Okutama. Shortly after, he went into the rest of the murders. Going back to Erica and then Mari, which they had found video footage of in his apartment. On September 6th, Mari's remains, including her hands and feet, were discovered near the coal mine pass. Her father's cries to have his daughter's remains returned were finally answered. Tsutomu showed no remorse for his actions upon being taken into the custody and was just generally indifferent to his arrest. The media had given Tsutomu the nickname of the Otaku Murderer because of his obsession over anime and cartoons. Throughout the course of his trial, he was completely unbothered by the consequences he was facing. He answered questions in a calm and what appeared as a rational manner. When asked further about his crimes, he did blame Ratman, who was an apparent alter ego of his that lived inside of him and forced him to do the terrible things he did. There were numerous attempts to claim that he was insane, but to no avail. On the 14th of April, 1997, Tsutomu was sentenced to death by hanging. Once he was convicted, Tsutomu's father, who had flat out refused to pay for his son's legal counsel, ended up committing suicide in 1994. Psychoanalysts that examined Tsutomu determined his lack of creating a stable bond with his parents causes issues to arise. Also, the lack of connection pushed him into the fantasy world where he learned from the manga and slasher films he came to love. Through the 1990s, he was subject to a slew of psychiatric tests up until 1997. A team of psychiatrists from Tokyo University deemed that Tsutomu did actually have a multiple personality disorder and extreme schizophrenia, but nevertheless knew that his actions were wrong. Therefore, he was still accountable for his actions. Tsutomu remained on death row for many years, going through many appeals trying to just get life in prison, or even going as far as to ask if he could be lethally injected like they do here in the U.S., because he was afraid of being hanged. Literally no one cares that you're afraid after the shit you did to those poor girls. He was later hanged many years later after awaiting upon death row on June 17th, 2008. After 11 years waiting on death row, watching anime, reading manga, and being who he was. That was the horrific case of the little girl murderer, or the otaku murderer. Personally, I don't like the otaku murderer nickname because manga and anime didn't turn him into the perverse human that he was. Also because I consider myself to be an otaku as I love anime and manga and I have since I was a child. I'm not a psychotic serial killer or anything like that, so I just think that the little girl murderer is a good title. But that's all I got for you guys today. I hope you have a better day than where this story ended up. I appreciate you joining me today. As always, there will be a case-related pictures on the Instagram at Crime and Tea. You can also shoot me a Gmail at crimeandteapodcast@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or just a chat. You can also use the Anchor link down below to make a donation if you would like, and the sources will all be linked below as usual. Till next time's tea. Bye, guys. Boo!